Okay, we're back. We are in our
back
home
from New York. Yeah.
Home settings. Kat has made the trek home. I'm back in Florida. That was a great trip. We had so much fun.
So much fun. I'm so sad that you missed the biggest game of the week. You left right before the Madison Square Garden showdown.
Showdown. I know. There was so much. It's so funny because I left the trip and then I was like invested in how the Sharks were doing the rest of the road trip, and I was checking their scores as if I was checking somebody like my husband's scores.
Oh my God.
And I was texting you like, this game, da-da-da, you know, and I'm like, I don't know if you're actually watching.
I was watching. So, I
and
was
she
like,
was watching, guys.
Tuned in. It was so. I've never screamed that. I think the last time I screamed that loud at a game was when the Canadians clinched into the Stanley Cup, and you and I were like next to each other screaming our faces off. So I was freaking out. It was also really nice too because Will Smith's whole family was there, and then some. He like travels deep, apparently.
I love that.
And his mom is just so much fun. So she was kind of like you, like a team mom, and getting all her people together.
I love it.
So they got to watch that OT goal. And afterwards, I took a picture of the whole family together. And it's like Will with like 100 people behind him. And he was just the star of the show at MSG.
So really, how incredible. Like,
right?
Just the whole thing, being back in New York, it just gives you all the feels. And then to end, you know, the trip like that. Well, you guys went to New Jersey and did all that and got to see your people there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm back in the – I felt like I had to take like a long rest this weekend to catch up from a busy week. But back in the swing of things, getting – Jeff's on a nice homestand here this week. We have our Halloween party on Wednesday.
Ooh.
So trying to get my ducks in a row for that.
Yeah, if we had more time to chat today, I was going to try and clip all of the hockey Halloween costumes so we could go over that. But we can do that next week.
Yeah, let's do a full recap after. And it will be after actual Halloween. So I think a lot's going to come out this week.
True.
So stay tuned for that. So we have our most in-depth interview this week with Alec Martinez. Kat has known him for many years. It was my first time meeting him. So many layers to him. It's such an interesting conversation with really his whole story and kind of where he's at post-hockey now going, you know, kind of dabbling in his broadcasting, you know, era and entering and being full-time dad mode. So that's up next with Alec Martinez.
Shoot, score, win, repeat, on the ice and online. Keep the energy going with NHL Game Zone, the ultimate hockey hub for free-to-play games, prizes, and non-stop competition. Take your best shot with games like NHL Lines, Bingo, Bracket Challenge, and more. Challenge yourself and battle your friends and hockey fans worldwide. Play games for chances to win awesome NHL prizes. NHL Game Zone, your one-stop for hockey free-to-play gaming. Play today at nhl.com/gamezone. Terms and conditions apply.
Tune into 100% Hockey, the podcast that connects with general managers, coaches, players, and more. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Conversations for you. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
McKinnon or McDavid? Crosby or Marchand? Got what it takes to be an NHL GM? Play NHL Fantasy Stars, the new mobile fantasy hockey game. Download the app and put your hockey knowledge to the test. Open daily packs, set your lineup, and buy your favorite players. Forget to set your lineup? Don't worry. Each day will bring a new chance to gain bragging rights with your friends. When they score, you score.
Connor Bedard scores!
Play fantasy hockey on your own time or play every day for free. NHL Fantasy Stars. Download the app today.
As hockey fans, you know him because he's won not one, not two, but three Stanley Cups. But you wouldn't know that if you ran into him on the street because he would never brag about anything. Sometimes I refer to him as more of a Martha Stewart than a hockey player. And now
is that good?
It's
it
great.
Is.
It's great.
Yeah, so welcome, yeah. Alec Martinez, now in his broadcasting and dad era.
Yeah, it's things are very different than 6 months ago. I mean, it's been kind of a weird transition, I think, for – you know, as for anyone that's retired, but good thing is I got two little things to keep me busy. You know, that's not to say I haven't had like, you know, ups and downs and good days and bad, but I've got a lot going on. I've kind of have a plan set forth. I knew this day was coming for, you know, a couple, well, a loose plan. I mean, it seems like everything nowadays is written in pencil. You know, you plan on, you, I mean, if my life is indicative of anything the last 2-3 years, then, you know, you can make plans and then they never come to fruition and it just blows up in your face, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad. But yeah, it's just been a pretty wild 6 months, moved a lot, started some new things, trying some new things. So, yeah.
I mean, it's nice to see you back in LA right now. I recognize that room.
Yeah, you do. We've had some good times up on this roof deck, but good to be back.
In prepping for this, you know, obviously Kat, since we started this podcast last year, you have always been on a short list of interviews. Kat has always been like, this guy's so interesting. There's so much to talk about. There's so much more than just the amazing hockey moments. So here we are. I'm very excited just to learn a little bit more about your story. And we have some fun things we want to talk about. But just in the review, is you're a Michigan boy. So things started clicking with me of the connections and how many people we probably have in common. But you're from Rochester Hills. My husband's from Farmington Hills. You guys are defensemen. You went to Miami of Ohio. So, like, my first off is like, do you know Ryan Jones?
I do. Yeah. I played with him for 3 years. He was a year older than me.
Jonesy was like the guy who took Jeff in when Jeff entered the league in Edmonton. And Jamie and Ryan took care of Jeff, like, you know, Kat's children, you know, that she has.
I've heard about that.
We're both in our parenting era, Alex. It's pretty funny.
Yes. It's a real doozy sometimes.
Yeah. All that to say is all the people that I think we have in common, and then also somewhat outside of hockey through your wife is Victoria Illich. Vic, if you're listening, I know she's listening. She's a big fan of the podcast and of you and of us. So she's listening. She's like, everybody, the common factor is, oh my gosh, they're just the best. The Martinezes are just the best. Like, and it's beyond hockey. So
I've never heard that before. That's crazy.
Yeah. I need to come on this podcast more often.
Yeah, here we are. This is what Never Outside is. We are here to shine the light on everything and all good things about more than the player. So, but I do think we need to go back a little bit into how you got to where you ultimately are now, but we'll get there. And it starts with, I mean, you can start where you want to start, but ultimately the LA Kings part of the journey is where we want to begin. And I got chills watching the moments that, you know, are forever etched into your soul, probably in an incredible way.
Well, that's pretty open-ended. I could start in a lot of places.
I wanted to know where you were going to go.
I didn't even know where to begin. I think that's the whole point.
It all started at Crittenden Hospital in Rochester Hills, Michigan. No, I'm kidding. No, it was... yeah, I guess just familiar upbringing as your husband. Grew up in Metro Detroit, grew up around hockey, grew up around a really, really big dynasty in the Red Wings. So, you know, obviously hockey was a big part of the community. They did a really good job. And I'm not just saying this because Vic is probably watching, but Mr. Illich was, I've said this before, but, you know, I grew up playing in the Little Caesars Hockey League. Obviously the owner of the Red Wings, but he put so much on what I would imagine money, but time, effort, and into the community and youth hockey. So, I mean, if you were, no matter what level, if you played hockey or around a rink or something like that, you were touched by his generosity, you know, to the community in Detroit. So very appreciative of that, but yeah, just grew up playing there. And then, worked my way up, went to Miami for a few years, was drafted by LA and, played in the minors for a bit and then finally stuck here. Had some success with the team, a couple times, one of which was with, you know, Kat's husband. Great dude. I'm kind of hoping, is he on the road right now?
No, he's at the rink, but he'll probably pop.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to see that guy, but, yeah. Yeah, no, just I mean, I can get into any kind of detail you want, but I mean, you touched on those goals. It's funny, like I was asked about this just the other day, and I'm reminded of that goal about once a year because people tag me on Twitter, you know, on the anniversary. But this sounds like a line, but I genuinely just don't, I don't really think about it that much.
Oh, I was wondering if you replayed it every once in a while just to
No, just to try to help remind myself that, you know, I was maybe, you know, I was successful at some point in my life.
yeah, play for the kids every once in a while. I don't know.
Maybe that's something, you know, like they obviously don't care at their age now, but no, I genuinely don't think about it that much. I think, you know, I've reflected a little bit just in retirement. There's moments where I guess it crosses my mind, but it's usually because it's triggered by someone else saying something, or I see something, or, you know, playoff time. I think about it every once in a while because it's usually on like some of the advertisements or the commercials and things like that. So, but yeah, I don't know that we can get into the weeds of it later, but I mean, I'm obviously very grateful of my career and all that, and I'm very happy with what I accomplished. But this sounds so corny and such a like turd thing to say, but like I genuinely, I'm very proud of those three cups. But you know, I'm more proud of other things that happened in my career, and you know, once I got to be an older guy, and it was far more rewarding and in a very different way, to try to give back to the game, because I was so lucky to learn from so many good guys. Kat knows most of them personally. You know, you know who I'm going to say. I'm
Oh, yeah.
going to talk about Greener. You know, I'm going to talk about Stoli. I'm going to talk about, you know, Brownie, and I'm going to talk about, you know, all those guys. So it was kind of a cool opportunity towards like the latter half of my career, maybe the last 5 or 6 years or so, that I could try to give back a little bit. And honestly, that's what I think about the most, because I still have those relationships. Like Ty and I haven't played together for how long, but I talk to Ty all the time,
Yeah.
you know? And so like I guess I'm reminded more of like those friendships and those relationships than I am three games or one goal. Like I don't think about the hockey very much, if that makes sense, you know?
Well, one of those relationships got you married, so can you explain that?
Met the old-fashioned way. So my wife was a third grade teacher, and she taught Dustin Brown's second oldest in third grade. And then after school, obviously with the Browns having four kids and Nicole having to run around all over the place, they needed a little bit of help. So Emily would come over and tutor the other kids. So she had, you know, a relationship with the kids. And I believe, I'm sure Nicole will correct me on this as soon as it airs, if I'm wrong, because that's the kind of person
Oh,
she
yeah.
is. But I think Nicole was Emily's room mom too when Mason was in their class. But anyways, I was single, and Emily was over tutoring one of the kids, and so Nicole said, like, "Hey, Miss Brown, you know, are you seeing anyone?" And she's like, "Oh, I think the first time she was, and then maybe like a few months later she wasn't." And all Nicole had to say was, "Well, Dustin has his teammate and he's not a douche." And that was it. And I was like,
That's
I
what
found
Nicole
out.
said.
Yeah. And so like on our first date, like Emily and I, we kind of hit it off. We ended up, we went to lunch, like I think it was her last day of school. And we were there for like 4 hours just chatting. And I found out that that's what Nicole had said. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that's it? Like of how long? Like I've known you for a decade. Like I've taken your kids to hockey. I visited you in your off-season home, and all you have to say is that I'm not a douche. Like that's it. It's like I mean, you could pump my tire a little bit more. I mean, I had my tire pumped more just in this podcast that we've been on in 15 minutes than than I was with Nicole Brown. And it's like, well, how hard were you really trying to set us up? But funny part was, is that she always said that if it indeed, you know, did work out and we got married, that she got a speech at the wedding. And I was definitely afraid of that, but I agreed to it anyway, because there's no negotiating with Nicole Brown. It's just whatever she wants to do.
Oh yeah.
And, but she ended up giving the speech and it was awesome. It was really fun.
I think I filmed the entire thing. Like, I was just like filming and crying, laughing the entire, cause that was her moment. It was.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because it was like, Nicole doesn't get nervous about much, but you could tell like there's a little bit where, yeah, she didn't want to mess it up, but she didn't. So, no. And even if she did, who cares?
It was just so great to watch that. And again, it was like such a full circle moment that you got married because of Dustin and Nicole Brown. So,
yeah. Yeah, wild. It's pretty funny, but glad it worked out.
I love it. Okay, so going back to the three different teams that you won with all these players that you've played with, can you tell us just the different vibes of each team? So 2012, 2014, 2023, what were the different vibes?
And 2023 is with Vegas, yes. And the other two are with LA.
Mm-hmm. I would say the two Kings teams had similar vibes, you know, because it was a lot of the same guys. Obviously, the second time in 14, we had this influx of youth and, you know, a lot of energy, talent. Obviously, your husband being one of those, that 70s line was pretty awesome. I don't know, they were very different. Just on a personal level too, because of where I was at in my life and my career. Mm-hmm. So, I know that's not necessarily talking about the team, but like, you know, at first I was a 24-year-old kid, young kid playing a limited role, you know, and I'm just like, you're just kind of in the moment. You're a young kid. You're like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, you obviously want to win, but it's different. And then, you know, later on, I think, you know, when you win 2 out of 3 years and then you make it to the conference final, the year in between that, it's like that old adage and it's cliche, but you think it's going to happen every year and it just doesn't. And then all of a sudden I have 9 years where I'm not there. I got close a couple times, thanks to your husband. Well, was Jeff on that team in Montreal too that knocked us out?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how we
Yeah, I hope he comes home. Yeah, I hope he comes home too. I got a bone to pick with both of them.
He just ran up for a nap, so he's safe.
Yeah. Oh, good for him. I miss those days. So it was just like it was different. And then I was an older guy, and I guess you kind of not appreciate it more, but you just have a little bit of a different perspective being older and having that drought of, you know, and I also know like how lucky I am to have won, but I mean, there's so many players that have come through the league that are far, far better than I am. And yet they never even were, you know, got the opportunity to compete for one. So I know just how lucky I am to just have been drafted by the right team coincidentally. And then, you know, was able to compete for those. But I guess the one commonality is that all those teams that won were just so incredibly tight. And Kat, you can attest to that. Like both on and off the ice, I think there's a lot of different factors that, one, we just all got along. I mean, that's an obvious thing. But I think that there's something special. Like we all lived in, you know, Hermosa or Manhattan, like the beach communities. We lived close to each other. I mean, I still do. I could throw a football out this window and hit Greener's house, you know, and it's just like the whole thought that you could just hop on a beach cruiser and truthfully be at anyone's house in like 5-10 minutes, you know? But yeah, they were all different, and each playoff run has a different story.
You won with Tyler in 2014 and then you both got traded, what, like a day apart?
Yeah, a day apart. I was sitting there with Ty when he got the call from Rob Blake, and the phone, like you felt the phone vibrate on the table, and we both knew that we were probably getting moved. So it was like this phone vibrates, and there's that half a second. It's like, well, is it your phone or mine?
Oh.
And then I remember I brought a bag of clothes because I thought I was going to get dealt on that trip. But then Ty didn't. But I had a friendly heads up that it was maybe going to happen. So then I rushed home to grab some clothes. But then I remember I offered Ty. I was like, do you want to just take my bag? Oh. Like, we're relatively the same size. Like, you can just, like, yeah. And you know, you might have to wash the underwear a few times, the socks and underwear. Maybe run those through the wash a couple of times before you throw those on. But I swear everything's clean, you know. But yeah, we were sitting right next to each other, and that was a weird moment. I mean, he ended up, we were sitting at High Steakhouse at the bar in Winnipeg, and then he got traded, and I don't even know if he got his meal. No, it was like in between salad and dinner.
Yes.
And then he went up, and then I called him. I was like, hey man, you know, we hugged goodbye and all that. And I was like, I'll get your meal. And I called him. I was like, hey, do you like your food's here? Do you want it? And he's like, man, I'm already in the Uber to the airport. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm eating for two tonight, you know? But yeah, it's weird how it's like we both kind of knew that it was happening, but then when it does happen, like it happens so quickly, and that's like just kind of the crappy part of the game, right? You know, it's like I'm sitting next to one of my best friends one moment, and then literally the next second he's not on the same team anymore. Like, that kind of sucks, but that's, I mean, we know what we sign up for.
I'll never forget it. It literally was like the Kings, like, thank you, Tyler, like all the social. And then the next day it was like, thanks, Alec. Like, it was just back to back social posts. And it
good
was
thing you didn't give your bag away.
Yeah. Seriously. I was traded the next morning. But the cool part was, I guess, is if our last game was that outdoor game.
Yeah.
In Colorado. And I mean, Ty had a much better game than I did. He had a hat trick. So that was pretty sweet. But,
it was a sick game, though. It was a nice grand finale, I guess.
Nothing like having a hat trick and then getting traded.
Yeah. Seriously. Well, it clearly wasn't due to a lack of performance.
Yeah. So
there was like six of us, I think, unloaded that year.
I was telling Julie, it was just like the Stanley Cup team, and then it just blew up in 2020, and then, you know. Why I alluded to the trades is because then – you went to Vegas, and then a couple years later, Quickie got traded in that crazy trade to Columbus and Vegas. When you won, you've won every cup with Quickie. That's crazy.
Yeah. it's super funny. Like, he and I will text each other every once in a while. We just kind of get a chuckle, you know, about that. But it's funny. I was asked about this the other day, too, in the same like kind of interview. And I don't know, there's like, you talk about different vibes and each run has a different story. And some of that's hockey related. Some of that's, you know, from a personal standpoint. And it's like, there's certain things like what's the movie line? It's like, it's easy to get romantic about baseball or something. Mm-hmm. I can't. Yeah. And, but like hockey's very much the same way where it's funny where I just mentioned it, like the trading thing, like there's so much about hockey that sucks, you know, like the business side of things like that, moving around and have it, you know, getting forced to move around, signing, like move, you know, I don't want to like badmouth the game. It's like, it's far more special than it is anything else, but there's certain things that happen that are just poetic. And the fact that I'm on probably the biggest rival for LA, And then, you know, you have this guy, Jonathan Quick, who's like a future Hall of Famer, the all-time winningest American goalie, like Olympian. I mean, you go down the list. It's like we could talk, you know, for hours about his accomplishments. And then all of a sudden I'm on like the rival within the same division, and Jonathan Quick, like his standing in the LA Kings, and now he's a Golden Knight. Like what, you know, like what happened here? And which I was obviously really pumped about, but then we end up winning. And then honestly, one of the coolest moments of my career is when after I hoisted it, I got to turn around and hand it to him. And that was like, it almost like brings tears to your eyes. Like it was such a cool personal moment for him and I, and like a bond that will forever, you know, we'll forever share. And there's just something different, I would say, with like sometimes with defensemen and goalies, it's like you're kind of in the trenches together. It's like, you know, there's no disrespect to Ty, but like Jeff, like when we get scored on, it's like we're the ones that get blamed, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the defenseman and the goalie. So there's like this, there's this other, you know, kind of funny little bond there. So for me to be able to share that with him, and then like Quickie and I go way back, we were roommates together in the minors. Like we basically spent our, yeah. Oh yeah. I've had to pull Quickie, literally pull him out of bed multiple times. So he would make the bus on time. Or, a little side note. I remember when he got called up for the last time, Ron Hextall called. I'm dating myself here, but we were playing in Winnipeg, which was the Manitoba Moose at the time. And this was before the Jets were there, but we were in the hotel and we get a call on the actual hotel phone. And I was like, hello. It's like, well, this is Ron Hextall. Is Jonathan there? So anyways, he was getting called up the next morning, and we must have set like every alarm on our phone, because Quickie kind of has a reputation, if you dig a little deep and, you know, to sleeping in. And, but we set like every alarm on our phone. We had wake up calls back when I don't even know if they still do wake up calls, you know, but yeah, he had like a 6 a.m. flight. So we were going to make sure he didn't miss that one, but really, really, really cool moment. And I mean, you know, Jackie as well, like just an awesome family, just such a generous family, such a fun family to be around. And I think a lot of the people learned, like Quickie brought such a wealth of knowledge on the ice, but then also off the ice. And that extends to Jackie and the family and creating a fun environment, because truthfully, it's like, you guys know how it is. You go to a city and it's like, these are your people. This is who you have. And I think that, a lot of people were very impressed by Jackie and Jonathan and how welcoming and how fun they were.
Oh yeah. That moment of you handing him the cup was just, anyone who knows you guys, we were all bawling. Like when you were just talking mm-hmm. about it, I got chills. So
I think Kat yeah. even, I think Kat back then, like you sent it to me being like, this oh, yeah. moment, like just, anyways, yeah. I didn't realize how choked up I would be. Like, I'm sitting here with a little ball in my throat.
Me
I didn't,
too. Like, I'm like,
again, it goes back to the people and we'll pump the tires or whatever it is. But it's everybody talked about you guys and have like had a little piece of your story. Just they get emotional about like your story that's entrenched with theirs. And you can tell just by the humility, and it's more than just the hockey. So anyways, I'm going to digress a little bit to get this like little knot out of my throat. And amongst all the, you know, the different teams you played on, was there anybody that you ever played against that you hated that all of a sudden you were teammates with?
Yeah, I've had that a couple times. Going back to like the rivalry between LA and Vegas, like that first year, I mean, I didn't like a single person on Vegas. And then all of a sudden I'm traded to that team. And it's like, we had just, you know, we had just lost to them. We got swept in the final their first year, you know, that awesome run that they had, you know, in their inaugural season. But there's a few that come to mind. I mean, Luch, never liked playing against him. But then I loved him as a teammate. I mean, Jonathan Marchessault, that guy just runs his mouth on the ice. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to like this guy. And he's the best dude ever, you know, in the locker room.
I love that.
It's how it yeah. always goes. Like, it's how it yeah. always goes.
Yeah. And there's like, you know, you can, there's bad apples anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. You know, not just in hockey, but in life. Like if you look hard enough for an asshole, you can find one. You know, they're not hard to find. But I feel like that's one of the special things about hockey too, is that like, truthfully, like there's not very many bad apples in the league, you know, and when you have a good culture and a good locker room, anyone that is like that kind of finds, you know, a good locker room finds a way to push people out like that, mm-hmm. you know? And so So it's usually, if you don't like someone on the ice, it's, usually off the ice, and you run into each, it's like, the common, like we have something in common, just, and we never met each other, right? Like, just with, I'm sure we have one degree of separation with multiple people, but you run into people at weddings, you run into, things like that, and so you're like, oh, well, this guy's actually not that bad. I had fun with him at this wedding, or like, he and I are buddies. We're going to dinner now. We used to hate each other on the ice, but yeah, that's a pretty, I would say, common occurrence.
Literally started crying when you were telling the story, and now I'm like actually choked up. So yes, we're gonna do something with you that we could only do with you because you have three Stanley Cups.
Yeah, so we like to do a yearbook superlative this, and your go around is the Stanley Cup winning teammates edition. So we're going to ask you these
Okay.
questions, and you come up with the first guy from a winning team that we're going to fill in the blank.
Pressure's on.
Best dressed.
Probably Jarrett Stoll or William Karlsson or Rob Scuderi.
That's a good one. Oh my God.
That one is in jest, but
I
he
love
knows
this.
that.
I love this because of all the years apart. We're really like, you gotta, it's kind of mental
Oh,
gymnastics for
yeah,
you.
no, I know it is. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah,
Do
we
you
used to refer
prepare
to it
us?
as the Scuderi cut. Like, he was the closest thing to like the 90s NBA draft suit, where you could almost fit like two people in it.
Yes,
But
that's funny.
so sorry, Scud, but
I love
yeah,
it.
he'll get a good chuckle.
Most popular.
Oh, Matt Green.
I think he might be a few of these, Alec, to be
Yeah,
honest.
it's yeah, you talk about someone that people just gravitate to. Like, you could just sit there and like you just prod him with a few stories, and it's like you could listen to that guy, and it not because he's annoying or talks too much. Like, he's just such a good storyteller. Like, Kat, you could listen to that guy for hours.
Oh my God, open a bottle of wine and I'm just,
Yeah.
I don't even
Yeah.
have to
You
say.
might need to open a case when he's
Yes.
around. But
Okay, the dumbest laugh.
oh, Drew Doughty.
Cat.
Like, that's the easiest one you got. Kat, you that was all you. I know that.
I
She
teed
teed
that
you
one
up.
up. Yeah.
Most likely to run a zoo.
Run a zoo? Oh, Alex Petrangelo. This guy,
Why?
he's like, he can't, th this guy can't. Like, he'd be perfect to run a zoo because there'd be so much going on that this guy can't focus on something longer than like 2 seconds. And I think I saw him yesterday when I was working the game in Vegas. He popped up to the booth because his son was playing at the rink. But that I said this, I think that part of the reason why he was so good, and especially defensively, is because he was so hyper aware of everything going on around him because he couldn't focus on one guy for longer than like a second, right?
I like
And
that.
so like this guy, I mean, hands down, the guy's got a million kids, dogs. He, at one point he was talking about getting a llama.
So
Oh
basically,
my
he
God. So
does.
this question wasn't that
Yeah,
random.
it's actually like fitting figuratively for him, or hypothetically, whichever. But also, like, I think his dream is to actually move back to St. Louis and have like a small zoo or a farm. But
That's funny. That's hilarious.
I don't think that they pulled the trigger on the llama. They live in Vegas, and I'm not sure. Like, do llamas do well in hot temperatures? I don't know. I
I
don't
don't
know enough
know.
about them. But
I
camels do. Are they
yeah.
related?
They've got it.
I
Well,
don't know.
now you and I are going to text after this about llamas because
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you told me to get weird with it.
I did
So
tell
this
you to
is
get
on
weird.
you. Yeah, this is on you.
We we're getting there. We're going to the weird
Slowly.
zone. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, best hair.
William Karlsson. I mean, the guy did a great Clips commercial. Like,
Oh, oh.
he's
Even
yeah, his flow's pretty iconic.
I won't even get into commercials because there's a commercial of a Greek restaurant in Vegas that always pops up in my feed, and it's Alec, and it's the funniest commercial I've ever. It pops up on my feed all the time, and it's Alec being like, "You want some great Greek food? Here it is."
Yeah, it's
It's like
I think my line was, if you're looking for some, what was it, like, game day gusto, yeah, look no further. That was for, hey, but hey, honestly, shout out Meraki, that place is unreal. That's
Well,
it's like the it was my it was like my favorite spot to eat in Vegas.
Well, I thank them too, because that commercial just graces my feed all the time, and I love it.
Okay, so funny short story about that. It was I was like, you know, when they came to me, I was like, I'm going to catch so much flack. Like, I mean, if there's anything a locker room is good at, it's preying on other people's insecurities, right? Mm-hmm. And when you put your neck out there, like, you're obviously going to get roasted, and we're not paid actors, you know, like. And it's like, it's local TV. Like, you know, I thought that they did a really good job, but it's not like, this is not Hollywood production, right? And that's no disrespect at all, but I mean, they did a really good job, but it's more on the acting than it is the production. But it was a perfect scenario for me, because I was doing it with Zach Whitecloud. So I knew that if he did it, I could just ultimately deflect onto him, and he would be the one that would take most of the flack. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And then when I showed up, he had to do like 80% of the work. I just sat there in the back and made fun of him behind camera when he would mess something up. I worked for 15 minutes. I think I said that line like 7-8 times. I screwed it up too. But it was just like, I was like, this couldn't be any better. Because I'm going to be able to do this, and then he can take most of the heat. So it was awesome. Thanks for bringing it up, Kat. There's certain things that you try to forget, but I guess the internet is forever.
I'm going to post it on our stories on our Instagram. So catch that.
We all need to see it.
Perfect. Okay,
back to the best smile.
Well, I'm going through. I'm like, who has their teeth? Who doesn't have their teeth? Who's got a flipper?
I could only think of toothless people on the Kings, that King.
Yeah, group. I know. Like, well, my first thing, I was like, well, Doughty, because of the front teeth. I was thinking like Jeff Carter.
I mean, Drew, they made like one of those like things that you hold up and like have their smile as like a giveaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is. Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
I think it's probably him, because like, you recognize that smile even just from one of those things, right?
Well, yeah, they did. Like, was that after the first one or maybe the second one? I can't remember. But remember that group started doing that cartoon, and it was like a cartoon version of Dewey.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you immediately knew who it was. I mean, it was probably because of that smile. So yeah, two answers there.
Funniest chirps.
Probably Jonathan Marchessault, because he's got that French accent, and for whatever reason, like, his broken English makes him funnier. You know, it's like we talked about that a lot, where it's like, if I walked in and said what Marchie said, it wouldn't be funny, like, at all. Like, people would look at me and be like, you're a weirdo, you know?
Yeah, that didn't land.
But just when someone says it with that accent and his broken English, like, it's just automatically funny. But he would run his mouth a lot, and they were pretty good. I don't know if we had a whole lot of trash talkers really in LA. I mean, I guess Dustin Penner would probably run his mouth a little bit. He was pretty quick-witted, but I mean, Greener is very quick witted, but he didn't really say much out there. I mean, he would when I mean, Greener was a very intimidating factor otherwise. Like, he didn't need to use his mouth to, you know, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Who is most likely to write a book? I'm going to vote you on this.
Yeah. I was just going to say, people would probably pick me.
Yeah. I would definitely pick you.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't even think that I could like formulate my thoughts well enough to write a book. And I feel like writing a book would be so hard and take so much time, but yeah, people would probably pick me. I don't know if that makes me a nerd or not. Probably does, but whatever, I'll take it.
Well, fun fact.
I know who I am at this point.
I was telling Julie how you finished your college degree whilst playing in the NHL on the road, which was...
That wasn't very much fun, but that actually, you told me to do a little preparation, and that kind of blew the cover of one of my two truths and a lie.
Damn, okay.
Oh, so I'm going to have to think of something else now.
Okay.
That sucked. I remember I finished it in the hotel. I took my final exam in San Jose, and it was like proctored, and they were like super, super strict about obviously cheating. So I would have to like show my ID. I'd have to take my laptop and like turn it around, scan the room, show underneath my desk. And I remember I knew that a lot, or most of the guys knew that I was doing it. And so I was like, man, one of these guys, like I must have double checked the lock on my door like 100 times. Cause like someone's going to mess with me and they're going to kick the door in. And then all of a sudden I'm going to get an F on this final, because if anyone else walked in the room, like it was an automatic zero. So yeah, that wasn't very much fun, but you did. Got it done.
Very impressive.
What did you major in?
Accounting. Really exciting stuff.
Yeah. I mean, again, more well-rounded here. Like, I didn't know we could add that to your resume. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference between having the degree and then having to use it. And I just hope that I never have to do that. People will be like, hey, do you want to be a CPA? I'm like, absolutely not. No. I'd have to go back to school for a year. Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
But
still very impressive. Most likely to run for president.
The man of the people. Brownie's not outgoing enough. I'm trying to think of some of those guys. Well, they'd have to be American too, right?
Yep. Ooh,
so it couldn't be Ty. It couldn't
Tyler
be
for
Ty.
Would be
Tyler
unhinged. For president.
Actually, I'd vote for him.
You would, because you just want to see what happened.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What do you think? What would Ty's like? What would his campaign like? What would be his big issues?
I don't think he has any issues. So I think he would just be like, let's just have a good time, guys. Like,
yeah, let's bring some Aperol spritzes to DC and let's have a party for 4 years. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if I'm going Americans, I'll go with the all-time winningest American. I'll go Quickie.
That's a good one.
But,
Quickie for president.
Yeah.
I would love to live in a world where Jonathan Quick is president.
I'd love to live in the world where Jackie is the first lady.
Yeah, first lady. Are you kidding me? I was like, Air Force One would just be the ultimate party zone. Like, they'd probably get rid of Air Force One and just drive via party bus everywhere. Like, what is it? The Beast? Like, the limo would not. It would be a party. They would retrofit it to a party bus. Like, his entire cabinet. Yeah, that would be. They probably wouldn't get much done, but man, would it be a great 4 years.
His election song would just be Thunder. And
Thunderstruck.
Yeah. Oh, this is too good. Okay, well, is this going to give away the most fun at the 10-year reunion? Who would categorize that one?
Yeah, who's the most fun at the 10-year reunion?
I mean, I think it goes back to who everyone gravitates to, and it's Greener. I mean, that guy, we just had that, what was it, not last summer, but the summer prior, and it's like people just huddle around Greener. You know, that's usually where it's at.
In the pool. He was just like staked in the pool the entire time. And we were just around him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, have you taken your bathing suit off this entire time? Like, were you even at dinner or were you still here? Like, but that's just who he is, right? Like, he just kind of holds court, and it's not, you know, it's nothing like, I don't know, like selfish or conceited. It's just he's a fun guy to be around. But
it's so funny. We were laughing about this at last year's reunion, just how Alec he's got the 2022, 2024 reunions, and now he's got one in what? How many years is your next one?
Yeah, 2033. And it's like, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna be so old, you know? And I'm like, man, there's going to be guys still playing. I'm going to show up. Like, I already have a little bit of some gray in my beard, and I don't know, the pressure's on. I might have to get like a facelift or something before I go to that reunion, so the guys don't. I mean, I was already like the old guy, so
yeah.
I mean, the amount of grandpa jokes. I mean, I still get. Chandler Stevenson sent me something the other day just randomly, and I was like, that was just so mean, you know. Like, obviously it was hilarious, and I was laughing, but I'm like, what the hell, man, you know. But so that guy, yeah, that's weird to think about, but in 2033.
Well, by that time, you might be a very seasoned broadcasting man, because you are moving into that role. Like,
yeah.
You know, we've kind of, you know, we've gotten to this point in it, but like, how did you, you said you, at the beginning of this, like you kind of had been mapping this out for a little bit, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Did you always know you wanted to go into broadcasting? Cause it like, I, you ask my husband what he wants to do and it's like, his dad's in baseball broadcasting and Jeff's mm-hmm. like, absolutely not. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. I said I'd never be on TV.
And
I said that all throughout, and here we are.
I was shocked, and I was so happy when it got announced. But, I texted him right away. I was like,
yeah, but so when I say that I had it mapped out, or I have it mapped out, I don't really have it.
Well, you have
I
thoughts.
I guess I have thoughts. Yeah, mm-hmm. like I and by that I'm like, if I go back to my last year in Vegas, like going into that year. You know, you're aware of your contract situation. I was aware of my health and I thought, you know, this could be my last run at it. And then at the end of that year, it's like, well, you know, I'm good if I'm done unless something interesting, you know, piques my interest. And obviously Chicago did, but then, you know, once that, you know, once I played that year, that's when I kind of knew like, hey, this is it. So I guess I had a little bit of time to think about it. I mentioned I had a relationship with Darren beforehand. He and I actually, when I was out in 2021, I got kicked in the face. Kat knows about that, but and I was out. I missed like 65 games. I was out from November to March. Yeah, it messed my whole.
Alex had some of the craziest injuries, I think, in your book, you'll write all about them.
Yeah, yeah. Once I write that book. So Darren would always fill in. Like, I mean, I did a lot of skates by myself when the team was on the road. And Darren would always come out, and he's a goalie. So he would come out, so I would have someone to shoot on. And so we kind of got to know each other that year. And then obviously, you know, just in – as a player, and he was a broadcaster, like got to know him that way. And so we kind of developed this friendship. And then, you know, he always said, he's like, you know, whenever that day comes, I thought, you know, like you'd be good at this. I think we'd have fun together, you know, doing it. And I just thought like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I really like you, Darren, but I don't really think that TV's for me. And then we actually sat down, was that two summers ago? The summer I left Vegas, and kind of had, you know, I picked his brain, talked about it. I was like, yeah, you know, maybe we'll do a couple games here and there. And then I ended up signing in Chicago. And then, you know, this past summer, it kind of, we kept in touch and then kind of brought it up again. And I guess like I'm very appreciative of the Knights organization because of my general plan that we were talking about mapping out like this next year. My two priorities is I want to be a dad, worked really hard to get to that point, that we can get into later. But, I want that opportunity to do that, especially the first year that I'm out. And then alluding to the face thing, like I want to get my health back. So those are my two major things. And I didn't want to jump at the first thing in case it'd be the wrong thing. Like I just want to take my time with figuring out what's next. So, very appreciative of the Knights organization. I'm kind of in the mode of like just trying things. Like I'm going to do a dozen games. I've done four already, you know, maybe a few more here and there, but it was an opportunity for me to try something new, an opportunity for me to kind of stay involved in the game. You know, I feel like it'd be pretty hard if I just retired and then all of a sudden just cut it clean. You know, and I was very upfront with the organization too, saying like, you know, if there's one thing that's important to me, it's like, I want to reserve the right to say no, because I want to do the health thing and I want to be a dad. So, and they've been really understanding of that and you know, doing as many games as I'm going to do, like, that's perfect. Truthfully, it gets me out of the house. Because so Emily doesn't want to kill me any more than she already does. I get to go to Vegas. My sister and brother-in-law live there. My sister just had a kid. a couple months ago. So I get to see my new nephew. I get to see some of my buddies and I get to talk hockey and like kind of stay involved. So it was kind of like a no brainer, but I'm just in that mode where I don't want to say no to a whole lot. Cause I want to try things, figure out what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, what I like and what I don't like. And TV just kind of, I mean, I guess it's kind of what I'm doing now, but I wouldn't consider myself like in broadcasting yet because it's just still, I'm still on tryout. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm still on a PTO with this. Yeah. And I'm still learning. I'm by no means a broadcaster yet, but I have done some broadcasting.
You're a broadcaster. Do you get nervous, by the way?
Yeah, I was nervous. Like the first game, especially that I did, it was a weird day. I'll be honest because, you know, like since I've been done, like I've alluded to, like I've had good days and bad days and sometimes I don't even think about it. And then other times it's like, there's certain moments where it's like a reminder that like, hey, you're really done, you know? And every once in a while, like at our off season place in Michigan, I walked into my gym for the first time and I was just, it kind of like made me sad. Right. Because it's like, well, I'm still going to use this gym, but it's not going to be the same anymore. Like I'm not prepping for a season. I'm not, which some of it is great because I'm like that machine, never going to use that again. You know, like that thing's miserable, but stuff like that. But then, so that first day it was like, it was starting a new chapter sort of. So it was kind of a weird day where I'm like, huh, I really am done. But then I was nervous too, because it was new. And so I was laughing with Darren. And I'm like, I think I'm more nervous than like right now than any game I ever played in. Like, especially in the playoffs or in the final or anything like that. But yeah, I was nervous and you could probably tell too, but, and apparently the first interview I dropped a shit and I didn't even realize it. Like talking about my plan, it sounds stupid, but I have this, in my notes app, I have this thing called Chapter 2. And it was, and I slowly put together this list of people that I wanted to talk to. And in various, I'll call them industries, like in hockey, outside of hockey, people that I've met, like just anytime that I've made like a big life decision, I'm like, I just want to talk to as many people as possible, get as much information as possible. And then that way I can make a decision. And there were a few people that I wanted to talk to. And one of them was, you know, Jarrett Stoll, who does that for the Kings. And then Darren was one of them. I talked to Daryl Evans. And I just wanted to like kind of pick their brain and figure out what they liked, what they didn't like, what they found was difficult. I talked to Thomas Hickey too, who I lived with in the minors and we both, were young guys with the LA organization, but, there was a handful of people that I wanted to talk to in broadcasting. So I talked to them and I've talked to, you know, other people too. And I still actually am. I need to get back to that list and talk to some more people.
I want to see Chapter 2. Yeah. Like, I want to see this. This the is fact amazing. That
you, I think the fact that you even have the wherewithal, like, fresh out of playing to know and to, you know, see this, that, you know, some guys ignore it and some guys can just shut the door on it and then, you know, some things fester up. I think the fact that you're hitting it on the head, you're seeing it for what it is, you're feeling the sadness of walking into your gym or, you know, walking maybe into a locker room and not having that same thing, like, says a lot. And we just had the Prongers on a couple weeks ago and it just reminded me, like, the advice that he kind of led off with of just like, he recommends that these guys take a year and even Lauren saying like, let them be for a year, let them navigate, let them get to the place. And then once that year's up, it's hopefully they've made a notes app that you've already, you know.
Well, I don't want you to think, don't be fooled that I have it like figured out, because I mean, I've put that together. And like, you had a really interesting point there that, most guys shut the door on it and ignore it. Mm-hmm. I did that too. Mm-hmm. Like there was a bit of a hybrid. I think I had the benefit of Well, it's funny. I've reflected a little bit on it, and I would say that I'm very fortunate to have been able to go out on my terms, because I know how many people in hockey, but in anything in life, that they're not able to do that. And so, I would say oftentimes a lot of guys play their last game and they don't know it's their last game, right? And I know how lucky I am to have been able to do that. So I guess I had a little bit of foresight. So I don't want to give myself too much credit here that I had this list. Like, I knew this was coming, so I could prep for it. But it's funny when you say that, like last year, sometimes I would talk like I was gonna still play this season. And finally, Emily, my wife, was she looked at me and she's like, "So are you done or are you not done?" I couldn't give her an answer. She's like, "We'll say it." And I was like, "No." So there's, because if I said it, then it was all of a sudden real, like, and it was in my eyes, it was like definitive or final. So while I had this list, there was, I guess I was kind of compartmentalizing, right? But there was a big part of me that just wouldn't admit it, So let's just say that Notes app was there, but I didn't open that app for significant periods of time,
Oh my
right?
God.
So,
Alex, an emotional guy, as you can tell. I just wanted to say, how did you not bawl your eyes out in your retirement speech? I saw you holding him back, but you were just, it was a beautiful. I sent it around to everyone. Like, literally, I was like, you must watch this speech.
oh, the one with Panger?
Yeah, on the
Like,
ice, like
in,
you're,
yeah. Yeah, that one was a hard one. That was the hardest interview I've ever done. I mean, I was appreciative of that moment too. I had talked to Panger. The thing was, is that I really, if I really had it my way, I would have just, ridden off into the sunset and not said a word. But the Blackhawks were kind of adamant about me saying something, and I didn't want to do it weeks ahead. Like, I didn't want to make anything about me. I'm not. That's just not kind of player I was, who I am as a person. I'm like, I like verbal meme. I just want to be Homer Simpson that like disappears into that green hedge. Like, that's what I want. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted to do. But
A
they
great
brought up
visual.
the Hawks brought up the good point. They're like, "Well, if we do this like tribute video at the end, people are going to be like, what the heck's going on here?" Like, if you don't say something. So then that's why I was like, you know what? All right, I'll tell. And I told Panger ahead of time. And I was like, "Hey, tonight's my last game. Only my family knows this." And I had some buddies from college and some family that came in it, and some guys that I had played with. It was hard because it's like you want so many people. Like, I would have loved for you and Ty to be there, right? But it's like, well, you're playing. So like, I had a lot of buddies that were still playing that couldn't. But other than them, no one really knew. So he teed me up, and yeah, that was hard.
It would be wrong of us not to talk a little bit more. I'm going to go a little off script here. Just about, I feel like your wife saying, like, well, say it. Like, sounds to me, from what I know from Vic, like she's just a strong, foundational piece of your career and, has been with you along the journey. Just what has she meant to you throughout it? And, I feel those words so deeply just because Jeff's at the end of his, and it's like, you don't say it, you don't talk about it, I'll let him play till the wheels fall off. I don't, I'm here to do whatever I need to do. But that hits. And I don't know, I just feel like if she's saying that and what she meant to you throughout the whole journey, because I do know little bits and pieces that y'all had a journey through it all.
Yeah, you're really testing me because you're gonna, hopefully I don't start crying.
Aww.
No, but I mean, Emily's incredible. She's just the best, and I wish I would have met her sooner, but I also am very appreciative of the timing that we did meet. the client, it's all about timing, you know, like whatever. But it truly was. I think, you know, she and I had met, I think I was 31 or 32, and it's like kind of got some of the bullshit out of the way of like younger dating and all that. And so it was kind of just, I was just more of like a mature relationship right off the get-go, which was refreshing and just kind of easy and organic. But I mean, I feel like I could talk about this for hours and all the things that she did to support me. But I mean, if I'm going through the bullet points, I mean, she had a career of her own. She taught third grade for 10 years. She had tenure and has her master's in reading specialty. And she had a very successful teaching career of her own. And she gave that up to, you know, once we got engaged, to move to Vegas and support me and allow me to continue to play. And then, you know, that's no easy thing to do. And being a hockey wife is not, as you guys can attest to, is not an easy thing to do, because your life is wrapped up in, you know, in this game, and everything that you do affects that. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of a selfish thing from a player standpoint, which is hard, because I mean, I would have loved for Emily to continue teaching, and she was super passionate about it. She's unbelievable at it. She was always like the most requested teacher in that grade, you know, like things like that. And so for her to give that up, like I'm very, very appreciative of that. And that's like, that's an understatement too. Like, I don't even know what the right word is of that, but for her to support me in that, and then, you know, you fast forward to the ups and downs of just the game itself. I mean, I know that some nights I come home after a game or an afternoon of practice, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm miserable. Right. And then she's got to deal with that, you know? And, but her support system has, you know, she's been my number one, you know, support system since, you know, we started dating. And then you throw in like the injuries that I've gone through. I mean, she got a taste. I got stepped on and severed my radial artery and two nerves, I think like 3 months into us dating.
Yep.
Like, yeah. And
yesterday.
Yeah. And she's like staying overnight with me in the hospital, and thank goodness it was like the Monday before Thanksgiving. So she was off school. But yeah, she got a taste and then of that pretty quickly. And, you know, I come out of surgery and it's like, I'm under anesthesia still and just being a, you know, running my mouth like an idiot, like not in a bad way, but I think I'm being funny, but I'm just being embarrassing. Like, you know, like the David after dentist, like the David after dentist, that poor kid, you know, like that kind of thing. But yeah. And then and then me getting sliced, going through COVID, I mean, moving to a new city, like COVID hit 2 weeks after we were both traded, right? Yeah. Like a super weird time. And then all of a sudden she is trying to Zoom call or Zoom teach and all that stuff. And then a new city where she's not really allowed to hang out with people and get to know people. Like, I mean, she made an incredible sacrifice for me. And I'm forever grateful for that. And then there was all these, like, I'll call them like challenges. And she just knocked them down, like, yeah, one by one, you yeah know? And, I'm just like, wow, this woman is pretty incredible. And then, you know, you fast forward, I'm dealing with some of my head stuff, from the slice, various injuries, contract situation, you know, all that stuff that is involved in hockey. And then we throw the fertility journey that we had. And I mean, my wife, without getting into all the details, I mean, was absolutely put through the ringer with multiple surgeries as well, being, you know, poked and prodded nonstop. I mean, the amount of, like, there were times where, like, the insides of her arms were just, yeah. But yeah, it, like, pales in a comparison to anything that I went through, right? Edit this out.
No. No, it's beautiful. You know, we live a beautiful life. We live a blessed life in this hockey world, in this community. There are so many things and so many stories like that, that not people, they go through quietly. And outside of hockey too, everybody goes through it quietly. And it's a beautiful thing to recognize it and
Yeah,
and
it's
see.
like the yeah, it's like we're so fortunate in so many ways, and I'm like to have the resources and things like that to be able to like go through something so incredibly difficult. But back to Emily, like I mean the things that she went through and the sacrifices that she made just in her life, the sacrifices that she made physically just in order for us to have a family, like in
It's
all right,
amazing.
so I blocked a shot and I broke my foot. Like, who cares, you know? And so it's important to put that kind of thing in perspective. But yeah, I mean, she's an incredible person, and she's always supported me all the while going through something so difficult herself. And obviously, I was. You know, I'm going through that with her, but I feel it's like a delicate thing because while I went through it with her, I know that the mother and a woman bears a different or carries a different burden in that regard. So I want to be respectful of that, and there's no way that I can ever know what that's like because I'm not a woman. And so, yeah, I just. That's like an important like little thing to say, but I mean for her to support me in my career while going through all of that herself, I mean from like I said, a life standpoint, a physical standpoint, an emotional standpoint, a mental standpoint, like pretty incredible. So that's why she's the best.
So happy
Yeah.
for you guys. I cannot wait to
Yeah.
meet the kiddos and way to
Yeah.
make us cry, Alec, on
Sorry.
my
I think this
gosh.
is a first, but
It's a first.
whatever.
Well,
It's a
you teed me up.
I
That's on
know. I
you
did.
guys.
I did. But
Yeah.
this whole
Yeah.
conversation has felt emotional in a beautiful way because it just you said it at the beginning, like hockey and sports in a way are so poetic. Like that alone is poetic. Like the fact that you are like, I just want to be a dad now, and that's where you're at. And that story goes with it. Everything y'all have gone through. So I appreciate you being vulnerable. I think vulnerability is what is so refreshing about you. And I know nothing about you. Now I feel like we can go hang out next time I'm in Hermosa with Kat. You know,
Oh
it's
yeah.
let's get lighter here. What are
Yeah.
you watching right now other than kids' movies?
Nothing. Like I don't have time. It's actually something Emily and I have talked about. Like we the last time that we sat down to actually start a show, like I don't.
You're asleep 10 minutes in.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like the last thing we watched was White Lotus.
Oh,
Maybe,
nice.
and that was when we were still in Chicago. I mean, granted,
Recent-ish?
it yeah, recent-ish. Like when we're at the lake, this was it's kind of by design, but we only have one TV in the house, and the idea is like, hey, I mean, truthfully, I think the only thing that we really watch are live sports now. I mean, we might have watched a documentary here and there this summer, but like we don't watch a whole lot of TV. And then since we've moved back to LA, we're like kind of redoing our house. And then you throw the kids in the mix, like we just, short answer, we
Nothing.
don't watch TV.
Favorite
Yeah.
road city.
Ooh. Probably Nashville. Just like the vibe of the, we would always stay close to Broadway.
Tootsies.
You could, yeah, live music, that kind of thing. I mean, obviously going home, like I liked going to Detroit just because I could see family and stuff. But Yeah, Nashville. I mean, there's a few. The New York trip is always fun, because it's one year in New York and playing it in the West, we'd always kind of do it around Christmas time. So New York at Christmas time, you get the taste of the winter. And it was kind of nice that you just like be in one spot for 4 days,
I was
5 days, which was a nice refresh. Yeah.
Ty was just on that from San Jose, so I was just there for
Yeah.
a week, yeah.
Okay, favorite Road City hotel. Getting niche here.
The Pac Rim in Vancouver is really nice.
I like that
That's
different answer. Usually it's the Ritz
fabulous.
in Montreal that everybody says.
Oh yeah, because of the toilet.
Because of the
You probably get that all
toilet.
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing does everything short of taking you to the moon. There's so many damn buttons on that thing. Like I yeah, no,
Funny
I
that that's a thing in hockey that everyone is like, oh, the Ritz Montreal.
Yeah.
Like, Oh yeah, it's all the toilet.
I think
That's
some
it.
guys have gotten them installed in their house, like they've because they love it so much.
Oh
Anyways,
yeah.
I wonder
Yeah.
if the general public in Montreal know this about
Yeah.
the Ritz Montreal.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure
Funny.
it's been great for Toto, right? Like all the NHL guys that are building houses, they're like, "I want that," you
Yeah,
know?
Toto, the brand.
Until you
No,
see the
it's
price
okay.
tag and you're like, "I think I'm good."
Oh, I'd
Yeah.
love to know
Yeah.
how much that costs,
Oh, I
actually.
think it's
Oh,
like
there's
10 grand plus.
Oh my
Like
gosh.
yeah, it's something
Jeff looked it
stupid
up.
and but then it's also like semi I don't want to say dangerous, but it's like all the plumbing is behind the wall. So if
Oh, yeah.
anything goes wrong with the toilet, you have to bust up drywall. And it's
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
okay, so I'm going to pay 10 grand and then have to like redo my bathroom if it
Yeah.
starts leaking. Like, no thanks.
Ritz Montreal is an
But
old building too. That's kind of impressive if you think about it. Okay, another Road City question. Favorite Road City random restaurant you found?
I don't know if I could list like one. Like, it's funny when you play in the league, you end up and you play long enough, like both your husbands have. Like, I'm sure they're the same way. I mean, I know Ty is, but you kind of find your spots, like your little spots in each city that are your favorite. I guess restaurants. I really like, is it Louis Bossy's actually where you guys are at in
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale?
Tyler was
Was
just talking
really
about
a
that the other night. It's nice.
Yeah, was a big fan of that. There's a few like coffee shops here and there, like in this isn't a coffee shop, but like Miku, a sushi restaurant in Vancouver that's close to that Pac Rim Hotel.
So
I
good.
was a big fan of that. Like going to get like Texas barbecue when you're in Dallas. There's a place called Pecan Lodge that I would try to go to and try to take guys to.
You
Go to
probably
like
have
Coney
one.
Island when you're in Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. What's a chirp that made you LOL and sticks in your brain forever?
There was one, I believe, it was when we were playing Anaheim. This was early in my career. Bobby Ryan had just signed an extension and he got hit in front of our bench and the bench started running their mouth and he got laid out and guys were giving it to him and he obviously had just signed an extension for a lot of money and he popped up and said, "No, it's all right. It didn't hurt that bad. I just fell on my wallet." And everyone was
Oh,
just like, "All right,
okay, all
yep, touche,
right,
tip of the
yeah,
cap." So that one always makes me laugh. But
that's funny. That's
yeah,
really funny.
it's funny, like you see I mean and then like what do you say to that? It's like
Okay,
no, you
yeah.
know, like yeah.
Who is the most famous person in your phone?
Besides Tyler Toffoli,
Which, did Tyler just walk in? Did I just hear the
wait.
ding?
Did he really? Oh, hey, Dare Dare. Hey, buddy, what's up, man?
Are you guys just finishing up?
He literally just
Oh
walked
yeah,
in.
they just asked me. They said, "Who's the most famous person in your phone?" And I said, "Well, besides Tyler Toffoli, I gotta swipe through and check it out."
That's a quick shout out.
Yeah.
All
All
right,
right. Well, you
Ty.
enjoy your nap.
Oh yeah, it's Shuttersville.
Shuttersville.
Shuttersville.com. Log on, buddy.
See you, bro.
See you, dude.
We talk about manifesting on this podcast, and you literally
Yeah,
were
there
like,
we go. Yeah, there he is. I don't really know. Oh, actually, probably the most famous. I have Eric Stonestreet's number because he gave me his Dodger tickets one time, and he had to like, I don't think I've ever texted him. I don't want to bug the guy, but I think he like we needed he needed to text him to me or something like that.
Favorite vacation spot?
I really like Hawaii. I mean, I know that's probably a pretty standard answer, but I've been to a couple weddings there.
You're our third one there.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's what I was saying. Been to a couple weddings there. I don't know.
You were teeing up our wedding. Oh my God.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, come on now, Kat.
I really
like Hawaii. Just like the vibe is super chill. Like that's the kind of vacation that Emily and I like to go on. I mean, we're fairly active too, but like, and I'll do the museum thing like maybe a little bit, but I don't want to do it a whole lot. I just kind of want to relax and chill. So, I mean, Hawaii, Emily and I went on our honeymoon to Italy, really enjoyed that. But I mean, it's not like it's the easiest place to just pop over to. So I guess being in LA and on the West Coast, like if I had like 5 or 6 days and wanted to go somewhere, I think she and I would pick there.
I'm going to wrap us up. If you could sum up your playing career in 3 words, what would they be?
Grateful. I don't know how to put it into one word, but I didn't always meet this feat, but I tried to do things the right way, and I wasn't always successful at that, and I made plenty of mistakes and all that, but that would be one of my words. Do things the right way, all in one word. Grateful, friendships like that, or yeah, like I don't know. Try to do things the right way, and then I'm just very grateful for everything, and then and appreciate the friendships that I made and I still have. Clearly, this is a prime example.
This was awesome. Kat alluded to this being just such a fun, easy conversation, and I can totally attest to it. Now, walking through, you know, somewhat of your journey and hearing more color to it, I just think you have a fantastic story, and as you're navigating all of this in the year out, I think you're doing it with such grace, and it's just such a breath of fresh air for all the guys that are kind of in that transition period. So thanks for coming on and talking with us too.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and in terms of the grace, I have a lot of help.
We all need it.
They know who they are. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that was amazing. I did not expect to feel that emotional. It's funny because all the people that we know in common with him talk about the emotion around him and just the beautiful stories around him and his family. But I didn't know what that meant until we spoke with him, and I just had a lump in my throat the whole time.
Leave it to Alec to make us tear up multiple times. If you watch this on YouTube, you will see just
he kind of ugly girl crying.
Yeah, like. he is just. I have known Alec since prior to Ty, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've known him. I actually met Ty with Alec when they came to a game.
Yeah.
So it's so funny, but he's just, when I say that, he is just one of the most like thoughtful people, I guess.
Yeah. And humble, down to earth. Yeah. Like, he just humanized the whole thing, the whole hockey player shtick. Yep.
You know what's even crazier, too? So he had all those injuries in LA, like the craziest injuries. And when he was injured, and he'd obviously stay home and the guys would go on the road, I used to call him Mr. Fix-It, because if something happened at our house and, like, I needed help, like, Alec would come over. And, like, one time he, like, fixed like our cable or like TV, whatever, you know what I mean? He is just that guy that I would call. So unfortunately, when he was injured, he was home, but like he was still the most helpful human in the entire world. Well, so you kind of see the vibe that, you know, he gives.
Yeah, the whole vibe, and just, you know, he's just so cerebral in how he is navigating this post-hockey chapter, as he called it. I just think it's so cool. And he's going to be whether he knows it or not and whether he'll accept it or not, like, he will be a resource for so many people just based on his honesty and vulnerability alone. I am grateful. He said, you know, he summed up his career in those kind of three phrases. I feel grateful for that conversation just because I feel like it's going to open up so much more with everything he had to give. And I guess you could say we're entering our Joe Rogan era by having a, you know, depth, longer conversation like that. But I'm here for it. And I hope everybody loved it as much as we loved walking through it with him.
I mean, we could talk for hours and hours and hours with Alec. He
just... Hours. anyways, did not really think that kind of emotion would come up in that particular conversation, but it went there. And yeah, that's never offside on a vulnerable note. And just I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation. And I hope you're enjoying the season so far, because we have just done some different types of, you know, conversations and interviews. And we just are really trying to give everybody different outlooks and insights, I guess, into this crazy awesome world that we live in. So
crazy. I actually got to text Alec after this too, because tomorrow is Ty's 900th game.
Oh.
So I waited until last yeah. night getting played to get to, you know, right. being able to actually like order stuff and, you know,
yeah.
You know, superstitious. You don't
order
anything before. So now that we're
knocking.
Oh yeah. I'm knocking on yeah. my head. Yeah, yeah. But you know, now I'm off to go order some. It's kind of funny. I don't even know if Ty knows that I know that tomorrow would be
that's so
I
cute.
Actually don't think he knows that I would know this, because, you know, he thinks that I'm like such a fair weather fan or whatever.
You're in it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go plan some stuff. So I'm going to actually ask Alec of all people for ideas, because Alec is the most thoughtful teammate that Ty's ever had. So,
well, you know, that's the person to ask. So,
yep.
Thanks for listening. It's we've kept you this long. Go listen to other episodes if you've missed this season. Follow the Instagram.
Shout out Michael Misa last week on our pod
for missing that. I guess, you know, we gave him a little bit of good luck juju to get that first one under his belt.
Yep, he got his first goal, and I have never been more proud and relieved after him being on our podcast.
I know. Yeah, totally. So go, listen to last week's episode with him. We had such a fun time, you know, chatting with him and just having so much fun. Follow
us on
along.
Insta. Yeah.
Yeah, all the things. And that's a wrap.
See you next week.
Yeah.